Across the Park Across the Park podcast is proud to be sponsored by Globe Gas and Heating. For the best kitchen and bathroom renovations, boiler servicing and repair, and central and underfloor heating in the Northwest, head over to globecentralheating.com and quote Across the Park for a free quote. D, that song is an earworm. I guarantee you'll be whistling it despite being a Palace fan. Welcome to Across the Park podcast, the big match preview, the opposition preview, as Crystal Palace play host to the Mighty Blues this Saturday down in the nation's capital. And me and Mills, you know that already. Returning to the show, Crystal Palace fan, friends of ours, D from Back of the Nest. D, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me on again. It's good. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, thanks very much. I want to get into, we sort of left off last season. One of the questions I asked you was about Roy Hodgson. And you were very much on the fence. You were very much like, if it's the right thing for Palace, then we'll do it. I'm on about, you know, Roy Hodgson being the manager for this season. Roy got the gig. I don't know how many managers you were rumoured with or to go for, if you will. But can you talk about that process? How did it go down with the Palace fans and you personally? Is that turning out to be the right choice so far?
With the manager talk, it was never about just Roy itself. It was about the ambition, the long-term ambition of the football club. Mm. And this summer, there were some interesting names out there. There was, you know, of course, Graham Potter, who done well with Brighton before he went to Chelsea. Didn't work out. There's managers abroad as well. So there were a good selection of managers that Palace could have went for. But you never really got that feeling that we wanted another manager. We spoke with a few of them, but it seemed like, let's have a talk. And that was it. It was nothing really serious. I think the plan was all along to bring back Roy Hodgson, which I do understand, because the last 10 games under Hodgson, not only did he keep us up, but we actually played some attacking football has been so defensively, which we've never seen under Roy previously. Yeah. And Roy so far has done a very good job, I would say, with the injuries that we've had and the fixtures. I've been very surprised by it. We haven't played the same attacking football that we played in the last 10 games with Hodgson. But, you know, he's here for another year. The fans want the best for him. Because end of the day, he didn't have to come to Palace end of last season. He could have easily just, stayed at home as a retired man, not having to stress for Premier League football. But he came to the football club for the love of the football club. And I have respect for that. But now we'll end up in the same position next summer. We'll have to find another manager because Roy's only here for a year. And I doubt that he'll sign a contract extension because, you know, 76 years old. I don't know how long he would want to stay in management for. So yeah, look, it's been good so far, but I don't think the club really wanted another manager apart from Roy.
A bit of a deeper question into what you've just said there. And again, I know you don't speak for every Palace fan, so you can come at it from your personal opinion. You've basically said there that he's here for one more year. Now, for me, from the outside looking in, that's not somewhere to build, to put the foundations into a plan. So are you sort of writing this season off, let's be safe, and then you plan from the summer?
Not really, because I think we've still got quality players that we've been linked with, that have been linked with top clubs for, you know, serious money, like Eze, Delise, Gehi, Anderson, Doucouré. There's all these players were linked with big moves over the summer. So if you've got all that quality in your side, I think we want to see something this season. And the objective is top 10. Roy said it. Steve Parish has said it as well when Roy signed a new extension at the club. And I think that is achievable with this group of players. The only problem that we have is that we don't have the squad depth. We could have improved it in the summer, but we didn't act seriously. And we left it till deadline day to bring in forwards. And it just didn't work out. So for me, staying up will not be enough. And a lot of Palace fans as well. Of course, there'll be some that will be happy staying up regardless, because, you know, some people will be. But the objective this season is to try and get the best out of these players and hopefully create something for the next manager to come into Palace and then just try to build on it. So, yeah, I'm expecting. I've got expectation this season, especially by bringing Hodgson back.
One man I do want to talk about who's not there, and for me from the outside, it seemed like it was every year. So for you, possibly it was worse. It seemed like Wilfred Zaha was always going to leave Crystal Palace for the last number of years. I think even we were linked to them at one point. He did leave in the summer. I know you guys made a really strong contract offer to keep him, and he was touted around all these different clubs. How does it feel, life without Zaha? How does it feel?
Honestly, it feels good or okay. Like, of course, you would have loved to have him in certain games, because right now we're starting Jeffrey Schlupp at left wing, and that's mainly due to the injury problems that we have, and we've had a ton. We've had an awful injury crisis at the start of the season where literally every day there will be another player out injured. It reached a point where Roy had to write down the players' names on the paper just to see who's in the training session. It was about 12, 13 players out injured at one time. And I think that hurt us more than Zaha leaving. But we didn't have Zaha for the last 10 games last season, and we were playing some great football. I think we just found themselves with Eze and Elise, solid attacking replacements that, of course, you would love to have Zaha in your team. But if you don't have him, we could survive. And I think we have shown that so far. No one's really mentioned Zaha as Palace fans. I feel like we've all moved on. It was going to happen one day. He's not going to be staying at Palace forever. That's not possible. He's, you know, went to Turkey to play Champions League football. That's his main priority there. And we're trying to build on the football club. So I think for both parties, it's worked out fine so far. But if you ask me, would I have liked us to keep Zaha? 100%. Because I think he's still a quality player. But then again, we're fine without him. It's not as bad as people expect it, to be fair.
Yeah, again, it's always different from the outside, which is why I love doing these shows, because most Evertonians, I'd imagine, a little bit like me, oh God, Zaha's gone to Palace, they're going to be screwed, and it's not always the case. I'm looking at your summer spending, D, and it doesn't seem like you really spent a lot. I think it was just under 40 million. Dean Henderson, really good goalkeeper. Rob Holding, I think, is clever. I think Jefferson Lehmann on a free transfer is a really, really good sign. And the one name that stinks out to me there is Matthias Franke. Now, I don't think I've seen much of him this season. Is that one for the future, or has there been injuries or form?
So he's been out injured. He just come back from an injury. He came off the bench against Newcastle and also the last game against Tottenham as well. And he didn't feature in a Burnley game. But yeah, he's just coming back from injury, 19 years old, Brazilian attacker. I don't think you can say he's a winger, you can say he's a number 10, but it's not clear yet. It's more about potential, one for the future. But then again, there are expectations as well, because I mean, we spent £20 million on a 19-year-old. With add-ons, it could go up to, I think, £25 to £30 million. And it's funny, but there's an add-on there for like a Ballon d'Or clause as well that they've added if he was to be nominated. That's how highly they regard him. And he was linked with Newcastle, he was linked with Chelsea as well. But Palace managed to get the job done, was working hard for him all summer long. But funny enough, speaking about him, he played for the under-21s, I think it was only yesterday night against AFC Wimbledon. And I think he didn't have the greatest of games, and there's people already writing him off. I'm thinking he's 19 years old. He just come from Brazil. He's had injuries. He hasn't had, you know, he's still settling in a new country, new environment, new language.
Yeah.
And after three games, people want to write him off. So he's one for the future. He's actually an exciting player. When he has come off the bench, I've been very impressed with him. He has a confidence of an experienced player. He doesn't lack it 100%. And I think we most likely won't see him in the Everton game. Might be on the bench, should be on the bench. But yeah, he has got that flair about him.
Oh, and one thing before we move into the actual game itself, and again, when I looked at your income and transfers, one thing for me as an outsider is I said, where was the striker? I thought Palace would have went and got maybe not even a striker, but a forward player. Now, you're saying Franke, as the season goes on, could develop into it. But is there enough up front for Palace to have a really good season? Because I know you've got Jordan Ayew, you've got Edouard, Will Hughes. Is that enough to really push and have a really good season? Or do you probably need more when the window opens again?
We 100% need more. I think we're relying on more. I think Lerma was fantastic in midfield anyway, next to Doucouré. That's also our midfield. We got midfield of Lerma, Doucouré, Eze when everyone's fit. I think that's fantastic. He's got creativity, defense there as number 8. We got everything. We got a combination of everything. But we needed a striker. We needed a forward. And this is where this whole debate for the whole summer, even till now, is going on, saying, why on earth did we spend £20 million on Dean Henderson when we know his injury problems, and whilst we have Sam Johnston in goal, who's got 5 clean sheets this season. And that's the most any goalkeeper's had. And that's in 11 games. Like, why? Why do we spend that money? If we don't have the budget, if we have a budget of £40 million, why spend nearly half of it or half of it, I think it's like 15 to 20, on the backup goalkeeper? It just didn't make any sense. Now, he's a good, very good option to have a backup goalkeeper, but it's about picking your priorities. We needed another forward. We needed depth options there. Injuries have hurt us, but another striker, we've seen with Edouard. Edouard's actually had a solid start to the season, much better than last season in terms of his overall game. But we know what to expect from Mateta, Edouard as well. Now was the time to go bring in another forward and try to push on alongside Eze and Elise. Eze and Elise are still there, but another forward would have come a long way. France, I guess, could be that forward, but he's still young. It's more about potential. And yeah, it was, if summer window was very frustrating. We left it to a last minute deadline day. It was linked with Hugo Ekitike from PSG, which, I mean, a few days before the window shuts, we had like three months to sort the problem out. So it was a frustrating window, in honesty. I mean, Loma was probably our best signing. But yeah, the Dean Henderson one was the most baffling thing because it meant that we didn't bring in another forward.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like ourselves. We sort of left it late. We've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who, as everybody knows, is a good striker, but he's someone that we just can't get on the pitch consistently. We went and signed Beto from Serie A. He hasn't really hit the ground running. He's very, very raw, very big, and will cause problems, but he's adapting. And the younger signing we got was Youssef Chimiti, who has played a handful of first-team games for Sport Lisbon, and on the eye, isn't ready. So it sounds a little bit like us. We were in the market for the striker, and probably in hindsight, we probably should have done a little bit more than what we did, but our hands are tied. You know, us with the FFP problems and everything that comes with it, we're having a bit of a tough time. Just to get your opinion on the Blues, D, from the outside, how do you see the situation at Everton? Because I'm not too sure whether you're aware too much, but the breach of the FFP rules, that hearing has been, we're waiting on an outcome. There could be points deductions, there could be transfer bans. We internally seem to be in a little bit of chaos, and it feels to me, being an Evertonian, is like being in deep water and you just can't get to the shore. The more you swim to the shore, the deeper it gets. Do you see from the outside Everton in trouble, or have you got a bit of another perception?
I don't think Everton's in trouble. If we're talking about, that's the thing with Everton, you just don't know. There's so much always going on with Everton. It's like any other day, it could be something else. Nice points deduction. Of course, it was sad about Bill Kenwright. Of course, that's going to disrupt a lot of things as well at Everton. But I mean, when you look at what's been going on at Everton, there's been a clear problem with the structure, ownership structure of the club. I know there's a new ownership group that could potentially be coming in. Now, I've heard a few things about that group, and you know more than me about it.
I've heard the same.
There's a few question marks even with that group as well. Yeah. How they like to proceed things. But for Everton, I'll be honest, it sounds so boring, so lame, but until you sort out your other problems, and that's behind the scene problems with the stadium, with the finances, with the ownership, you just need to stay up in the Premier League. You just need to stay up in the Premier League because it's going to be hard to push on. Maybe you can this season, but I'm just trying to think. Top 7, top 10, you need to have everything else in place for you to push on to that. Right now, Everton, you don't even know if you're going to have a points deduction or a transfer ban. And that's why, as boring as it may sound, which as a fan, I'll be bored of it as well, the minimum you have to do, I think a good season will be mid-table, more than anything, but just stay out of the relegation fight and sort out your problems behind the scenes, because I don't know how you can progress with all that chaos going on behind you. There's so many things. If it was only one thing, I would understand. With the finances involved, that's another tricky element, the ownership. Now with this investigation, I think Everton on the pitch have actually been solid this season in terms of, you know, picking up points and performances. I remember early on in the season, it was a case of finishing your chances, which of course you struggled with, but now slowly you're getting into rhythm, you're getting them results. So I don't think you've been terrible this season in terms of picking up points. Of course, maybe the style of football, Everton fans might want to see a bit more, but right now you need stability. And I mean, who else is going to deliver that than Sean Dyche, who done that at Burnley with limited resources? So I think for the short to medium term, you just need to be patient. I think patience is the key with Everton. And then afterwards, once all these problems are solved, then you can look ahead and then you can look at the style and maybe some of the players and try to push on. But right now, it's so hard.
Yeah, look, I think you've nailed it. I think for me, I'm sitting here nodding and agreeing. It's what I want. I want in April, I want to be able to sleep and not think about my football club, because the past couple of years, you know, the game your team was part of it 2 seasons ago, to second to last game of the season, where we stayed up, and then last season, Bournemouth, the final game, stayed up. I'm not too sure whether you've been there in your lifetime, but I tell you what, dear, I don't want no one to go through it unless you're a Liverpool fan, because it's sleepless nights, my friend, yeah, and I don't want that. So for me to have mid-table this season would be great. We've found ourselves in the quarter-final of the League Cup, so it's not looking too bad. I think the style of football does great on some fans, but I think when you remove yourself from that initial frustration of surrendering the ball and it's not pretty, if you remove yourself from that, The plan for Sean Dyche is to keep Everton in the Premier League. That's his job remit. He's got a 2.5-year contract or a 3.5-year contract, and the job remit in those 2 or 3 years is don't go down. And I think there's a style of football that comes with that. And I think patience, I think that's the best word, how I can describe where we have to be as a fan base. Everything has to start again from the ground up for us, including the ground, ironically. Everything's got to start again. And it almost has to be a little bit like a rebirth. And you guys went through that, didn't you, yourself a few years back?
Yeah. I mean, we done it under Hodgson. So when Hodgson left, actually after Hodgson, when he last left and Patrick Vieira came in, we got rid of like 10 players or 11 players out of contract. We brought in Elise, Eze, Gehi, Anderson, Decore. It was like a new era. But then again, I think with Pius is a bit different, because when we did do that, you know, restructure of the players and the squad and the management, we had pretty much everything behind the scenes sorted. We didn't have the financial problems. We didn't. Well, of course, we're trying to build a new stand, not a new stadium, which has been ongoing for the past probably like 7 to 8 years. I know.
What stand is that, that you're trying to rebuild? Which one is it?
Yeah, it's the one in the main stand. So we're trying to increase the capacity to like 32,000. So I think by 6,000 to 8,000. It's progressing. Construction is meant to start next summer now. So we've had stuff going on behind the scenes as well, but it hasn't been as chaotic as Everton. And I think that's the biggest difference. You want to build a new squad, but before you build a new squad, what type of football or what type of players do you want? You can't just bring in players just for your manager. You need to have an identity as a football club, because managers will come and go. So if Everton Football Club want to play defensive football, then you should be targeting defensive, you know, defensive-minded players. Or if you want to play possession football, you target them, and then you bring in a manager that can get the best out of these players. Otherwise, you're going to always change about. And I think that's been the main problem with Everton. They've spent so much money on players. It's not even the case of not spending money. In the past, you spent so much on players. But the problem is you spent money on players based on the manager's needs and rather than what the football club wants to do. Of course, a manager can request a player, but it's always, you bring in Dyche and you got players now that don't play that style of football. And then you bring in another manager and now you got managers that play Dyche style of football. That's why you need to make sure you support the sporting element as well. Have a sporting director, know what you want as a football club, and then build from there. Until you do that, because with Palace right now, I mean, we got rid of Patrick Vieira, but even the players that we're targeting players based on what we want, not based on what the manager wants. And I think that's a key element as well for Everton, and the biggest mistake that you've done spending all that money on some of these players. Some very good players there, but it's a bit confusing when you go down the list, because there's a variety of players for different styles of football.
Yeah, and I think one of the big problems was Frank Lampard trying to rip it up. The moment that we stayed up against you guys 2 years ago, he started talking about expansive play and bringing attacking players in. We were nowhere near ready for it, and that cost him his job. So look, the style of football we've got now, like I said, not easy on the eye for an Evertonian, but I think it'll be difficult for you to play against on Saturday. So we'll get into that. I looked at your form, D. 4 wins, 4 losses, sitting mid-table. You've spoke about you want to be top half as a fan base. I think there's always a risk with injuries that you could then possibly fall into it. Where I'm getting at is where you are now. Do you think that's sort of where you are as a football club, a mid-table Premier League team?
I do. But the thing is with Palace, I don't think we've seen the best out of Palace so far this season, which is why I've been very impressed. Apart from the Newcastle game, I'd exclude Tottenham. Tottenham had, you know, a bit of frustrations there. We haven't been that bad this season. Even when we beat Burnley 2-0, I was not happy with it because we have got, you know, a bit of standards in terms of how we want to win games as well. And we beat Burnley 2-0 in the last game at Turf Moor, but it wasn't a great game of football for Palace. I know we could have done better. We should have done better. And we managed to get a result done. But look, we're 3 points off 15th, I think, and 3 points off 7th. And we've got these run of fixtures. And we picked up, you know, we're in this position whilst not having Eze for a good few games, not having Elise play a single minute. Decore was out injured. We've had Dean Henderson, our backup goalkeeper, out injured. Eduardo Schreiker out injured. Schlupp was out injured. All these players have been out injured. We're slowly getting these players back. So we managed to pick up results whilst having nearly our starting 11 at a certain point of the season, our starting 11 out completely, nearly. So it's been very impressive. And now when these players are slowly coming back, and if we have Elise back as well as Eze, who came off the bench against Burnley, who got an assist, I think you'll see more out of Palace. So it's a case of, you know, taking a game at a time. I'm not looking too far ahead. It's about looking at individual games, thinking, you know, how many points should we pick up there if we want to have a good season. And the Everton game is not going to be easy by any means, but if we want to become, you know, serious this season about pushing on, then at home we should be trying to get that win, as good as you've been recently. And the same with Everton, you should be looking at Palace thinking, well, if we want to push up the table and catch up to the likes of Palace and the Brentfords, then this is a good opportunity. Let's beat Palace. You know, I think both clubs can look at this game with the mindset of, we should be trying to win. Well, it depends on how you view it, but that's how I'm viewing it. I think Palace should be trying to beat Everton. And I mean that with respect, because you lot have been playing very good, if we want to push on. Now, I'm not saying, I don't know if we will or not, but yeah, it's been impressive. I know we're sitting 11th right now, but that could easily change on a week and we could drop down lower or go much higher as well. So game at a time. That's my mentality. Game at a time.
So this game, I'm going to give you the secret today. What we're going to do is we're going to give you the ball and you've got to break us down. Does that make it a difficult afternoon for Palace?
Yes, it does. But the biggest, factor for me that's giving me a bit more confidence is the fact that Eze now should be starting. And Eze could be that difference maker. We've seen him for England as well. He's been getting selected for England, been playing at Palace, scoring assists, as I said, when he came on against Burnley. I'm expecting him to be the difference maker. I think it'll still be difficult. I'm not really expecting that many goals in this game, in all honesty. We have been solid defensively, so it'll be. I wonder how Everton will try to break us down as well on the counter. Because yes, we'll try, you know, break you down, put, you know, numbers forward, but I don't think we'll go all out attack and leave our defensive structure. I think even at home, we'll make sure that we're still solid defensively, but we'll put one or two plays forward to hurt you. So I think it will be a difficult game for both sides. I think Everton solid defensively. Palace also should be good in that aspect. I mean, we're joint top in terms of clean sheets so far this season. And that will be the focus first and foremost, to try to keep a clean sheet and create that chance with the likes of Eze. So yeah, I think it'll be a struggle, but I think it'll be a struggle for both sides trying to create chances and score goals.
Yeah. The way we will try and score goals will be quick transitions when we get the ball. So what Sean Dyche has done this season, and what he has done very well, is he sets traps. And when a team has lost the ball in an area, we have broke very, very quickly. And it's been surprising to some teams. We went to Brentford, scored 3 goals at Brentford, and they did not expect it. There was a similar result at the end of last season away at Brighton. We scored 5 goals at Brighton. And I think the whole Premier League was shocked by it. There's moments in the game where we will set a trap for you to come into, and if you lose the ball, we go for you. We will have four running at you. So that's how we will try and get a goal. I think, looking at it from an Evertonian point of view, I think it's probably right to surrender the ball to you and play this way. I think you will be looking at Everton, rightly or wrongly, as a bottom half Premier League team who, on your journey, you need to beat, and we need to play into that. We need to not get our cocky heads on and say, who are they to think that? We need to go, okay, that's fine. Let them feel comfortable against us. Let them feel they should beat us. Give them the ball, and the moment we get the ball, we punish them. I think that's how we set up. You've said how you set up there. is Hodgson good at changing styles in game? So for instance, if Everton go 1-0 up on a counter, would he stick to what he does or would he adjust things?
He doesn't really adjust things in terms of tactics. He'll try to adjust things in terms of players.
Yeah.
But even then, he's had a few problems with substitutions and his comments about younger players, etc. Because of the amount of injuries that we've had, our bench has looked weaker than normal. But then again, against Burnley, that the bench did look a bit stronger and he did make them subs even when we were 1-0 up. So we're not going to switch up from, I don't know, let's say from, you know, counter-attacking football, possession football, to all of a sudden go all-out attack. He won't do that, but he will try to change it up with a few players, yes. So it's a case of looking at the game, seeing how it's going. Of course, we know that you will try to hit us on the counter, but we should be ready for that because I know that's what we're going to expect. And Gay and Anderson, maybe one of the fullbacks might stay behind as well to form a three. But yeah, it shouldn't be a high-scoring game. And in honesty, when we talk about it, who's going to score goals, how we're going to break each other up, it doesn't sound like the most exciting game in the world because right now I'm sensing there's going to be not that many goals. I think it's going to be a case of if someone scores, they can nick the game 1-0, and I wouldn't be surprised with a draw. But yeah, it should be a tactical battle. We know what to expect from Everton. Everton know what to expect from Palace. With our creative play, not creative players. Well, Ayew's been solid so far this season, but Eze will be the main one. And we just have to try and nullify that and get that goal. Literally get that goal. Try to break Everton down and maybe invite the pressure, give you the ball. Maybe do roll reversal.
We'll be screwed. We'll be screwed then. We'll be absolutely screwed if you do that.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we'll say, you know what, Everton, you have the ball instead. Why do we always keep the ball?
Just give it back to
you. Counter. So it could work both ways. But at home, I'm expecting Palace to have a bit more possession and I'm expecting Everton to sit back. So it's going to be a game of who can break each other down. I think that's going to be it.
Look, I'm looking forward to it for different reasons. This is not going to be PSG versus Manchester City. It's not going to be that game. But for different reasons, I think it's going to be a very good game. You've got two you know, good managers. You've got two very historic big clubs who have gone through transitional periods. And I think it'll be a really good game. I'll give you my prediction, D. I think it's going to be 1-1. And my storyline is that we hit you in the first half on a counter or a set piece. And then you do get back into it in the second half and you score. And it's 1-1. If I had a free bet this weekend, that's where I put it. What are you saying as a counter? What's your prediction? How's it going to go?
My prediction is there's two scores that's bugging me, but I'm going to stick with the original one. I could easily see it being 0-0 as well. I could see that scenario at home, which wouldn't be the worst thing, but I could, you know, with our defence, I could see us keeping a clean sheet, you lot also keeping a clean sheet because we're still missing a few attackers. But I'm going to go for 1-0 Palace. And the reason why I'm saying 1-0 Palace is I'm looking at our defensive performances. It's been very good. I think that's been our strongest element to the side so far this season. And if we keep another clean sheet, that would be 6 and 12. So 50% of the games we've kept a clean sheet, which will be very impressive to the start of the season. And the breakthrough, the only reason why I'm saying 1-0 is Eze. If you can stop Eze, then it'll be 0-0. But if you don't stop Eze, I could see him having that one moment to create that chance. Because if he wasn't playing, then I just don't see both sides really scoring goals, in all honesty. Maybe from set pieces, as you mentioned. But then again, we have been good defending set pieces. I can't remember the last time we've conceded from a set piece. Maybe I'm forgetting. Maybe I'm having short-term memory. But yeah, it doesn't really happen that often. So it's like, you're good at set pieces. We're good at defending set pieces. You're good at defense. We're good at defense. Like, by looking at the game from this perspective, we kind of balance each other out perfectly in terms of the areas. So I think it should be a tight game. But at home, maybe Eze could be the factor. And that's me being hopeful.
It makes sense. I can also see that scenario. Eze is a really good player. It's proper Everton that he's back for us. It's obvious. It's the most Everton thing that you've been without him for so long. Enter Everton and he's back. And as you say, maybe even going to score the winner. See, it's been fantastic to get you back on. I always enjoy talking football with you. For any Palace fans who are watching with hashtags, the Crystal Palace hashtag in our YouTube show, any Palace fans who are stumbling across this, over on Twitter, the The name is Back of the Nest. Dee, do you want to tell any Palace fans who are watching what you're about, what you've got coming up?
Yeah, Back of the Nest on YouTube, on Twitter, all your social media platforms, Crystal Palace fan channel. We've got live match reactions, previews, up-to-date Palace news stuff. So, yeah, basically everything related to Palace, check out Back of the Nest.
Yeah, and I've watched a few shows as well in preparation for this and as well last season. Top shows, top content. So please go and check that out. Any Evertonians who are stumbling across us on your YouTube hole tonight, we're over at Across the Park PC, and we've got a show coming out again next week in the studio, and then another match preview to come next week. So I hope any Evertonians hit like, share, and subscribe on this one. Palace fans, head over to Back of the Nest. It's going to be a good game, Saturday. Dee, thank you very much, my man, for coming back on the podcast.
Thank you for having me on. Always a pleasure.